Welcome into the Nebraska Basketball Show. Kyle Crooks with you, talking all things Husker hoops. And, of course, very special guest here in studio. We have the head coach, Fred Hoiberg, with us, talking about the game last night. Talk about what's ahead coming up with Alumni Weekend. We'll have Cheryl Burbach as well in the final segment of the show to talk about what it took to wrangle everybody to get back here. We'll honor as well the 96 NIT Championship team, the 30th anniversary of that. But first things first, Coach, welcome into studio. It's been a while since I've had a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Kyle.
So you had a chance to dive into the tape. I know we listen to your press conferences when you do post-game with Kent and Jeff, but at that point you don't have a chance to really dive into the tape. When you look back at last night, no frustrating first half. What are some of the takeaways?
Yeah, it was. It obviously was a very frustrating start to that game. And, you know, the team that was the preseason number one team obviously picked to win our league. We spot them double-digit points in the first 3.5 minutes of that game and are forced to call a timeout. We talk a lot about forcing the other team to call the early timeout by getting off to the better start. That didn't happen last night. And then we regrouped. I thought had a really good middle portion of that first half to climb back into it. And then at the end of the half, we did not play well. We didn't contest well enough. Obviously, rebounding was an issue all night. And then the second half, we got back to being who we are, and that was with ball movement, that was playing in our flow, in our cutting was great. We found the right guys, and our urgency defensively was where it needed to be to get back into a game when you unfortunately dig yourself a 22-point hole. Now, the energy it takes to get out of that hole is a lot, and, you know, to have to try and make that up in really about 12 minutes – you expend so much energy when you have to do that. But that being said, all those things considered, we still had a chance to win that game. And, it's unfortunate with what happened at the end. I replayed that last sequence in my mind 100 times, you know, as I was laying awake staring at the ceiling, overnight. And, you know, Jamarcus made a great play. I thought Jamarcus in overtime was really good. Did a nice little floater, hit a big three on the wing, and then made a great play to kick it out to Sam, who had a great look. It looked great. I thought it was a really good stroke. It just missed a little bit long. We get the stop, and then the theme of the night, Kyle, we just could not come up with the rebound. They get it. I thought it had a good possession, and then they buried us on the inside, and they called the continuation and one foul for Clough, and then we slip on the inbounds play coming down. So, you know, a lot of learning lessons from this game. We'll get a good film session with our team tomorrow, just like we do every game, Kyle. Win or lose, we're going to prepare the same way. We'll go in and have a lengthy film session in the morning and then get out on the floor, flush that one, put it behind us, and start getting ready for Northwestern.
When you look at the rebounding, some of it can be unlucky bounces, long shots, long rebounds, some of those things. How much was that when you chart the rebounds, and how much of it was maybe effort, physicality?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the size, the length that Purdue has, you know, you're at a disadvantage, from the beginning. But that being said, you have to be more physical. And I thought not only were they bigger, but they also were the more physical team last night. And, you know, when you hit first and you've got a 3-4-5 inch size advantage, you're not going to make that up. You got to be the first one to make contact. You got to get into their body. You got to wedge, and you got to keep your feet moving to create rebound area. And we just did not do a good enough job with that. Obviously, Clough dominated on that end. He had 10 offensive rebounds on his own. But they got 76 shots, Kyle, to our 59. Mm-hmm. Not only the offensive rebounds, but the turnovers, which is very uncharacteristic of our team. We have been very good all year as far as taking care of the basketball. But you give a team that many extra possessions, it's hard to beat a really good team like Purdue.
Yeah, 21 offensive rebounds for them to 6 just for you guys, and then the 14 turnovers. And then here you are, a tie game, a free throw, a chance to put things, a chance to go up. But when you look at it, maybe learn lessons moving forward when it comes to tournament play and for the rest of Big Ten play, is that you need a full 40 minutes, right? You can't have 20 minutes where it's this level of play, and then all of a sudden you kick it into gear a little bit late.
Yeah, or 15 in our case last night. But, you know, again, that shows you what we're capable of. When we're clicking, when we're hitting on all cylinders, you know, we're as good as anybody in the country. When we're not, we're very pedestrian. And, you know, again, they get out 14-1 early, and then they build that thing up to 22. So, yeah, you just you have to play consistent. You have to do it in this league. And our guys have done that. For the most part, they've been really good. They've been consistent. They've been connected. They've been together. It's what you have to do to win in this league. Our guys have done a really good job of that all year. We're 21-3. A lot of painful lessons in this one because we felt like we let that one slip away, let Michigan slip away. And, you know, but we've won some of those as well, Kyle. We've won some close ones. So, you know, again, just learn from it, move on, and get ready for a talented Northwestern team.
Chatting with Fred Hoiberg here on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Price Sanford, and you can see how defensive he is, the head of the snake, top of the scouting report. It's tough for him to get open looks nowadays when you're having the season that he's having. I'm interested from an offensive mindset, and you're an offensive genius in this, but how tough is it to scheme things up for Price now the way that defenses are playing him?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to run him off a lot of action, and I give Price credit. I mean, the amount of miles he's putting on his body with the screens that we're running him off, you know, he's putting expending a lot of energy out there on the floor. We ran a couple motion plays for him at the end of the game, had a really nice curl to the basket to score the go-ahead bucket when we couldn't get the stop on the other end. But, you know, he's doing everything for us on that offensive end, not only coming off screens, but he draws so much attention. He did a really good job last night of screening Rink when his guy was connected to him, what you call a top lock on the defensive end. When they don't let him come off the screen, he would go flare Rink, and that's what freed Rink up to get a couple shots that he knocked down, which was great to see. You know, we're going to need Rink to make shots like that as we head down the stretch.
I feel like last night, Leo, with his injury, he's probably a guy to use him a little bit more if he's available because of the size. I mean, that felt like a game where you probably could have used him. And then Ugi, I mean, his situation is what it is. He redshirts, but I feel like Leo probably sees minutes last night.
Yeah, 100%. Leo definitely would have been out there. And he was, after that Michigan game, you know, the plan was to get him out there the next one. It didn't work out just with the matchup that we played against. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt the next day in practice. But yes, we're going to need Leo's size. There's no doubt about that, and he's continued to get better. You know, when you look at what Leo has gone through in his development year, he's put a lot of size on. His body is night and day from where it was when he got here, and he's going to have to help us down the stretch.
And it's been a big trio of games when you look at it, starting with the Michigan game, Illinois, and then Purdue last night. And don't want to just throw away Rutgers, but you just look at the competition you've had. What have you learned about this team maybe in that trio of games?
Yeah, like we talked about, I learned we can play with anybody when we play the right way and when we do things that we've been doing all year. But at the same time, you know, there's stretches where we've gotten exposed on certain things. You know, that three completely different games. You look at Michigan, we're out two, obviously, very key pieces with Braden and with Rink, and you fight them all the way to the end. I thought we wore down, and you know, probably rightfully so, with being as shorthanded as we were. And then Illinois had unbelievable momentum going into halftime of that game, built a 6-point lead, and then we gave them the momentum right back when we came out of the locker room. And then last night game against Purdue, it just, you know, we haven't had a start that poor in a long time. You know, there's a couple stretches we had in the Oklahoma game early in the season, and then the game at Indiana when we dug ourselves a 16-point hole. But we found a way to win that game against a really good team on the road. We need to get off to better starts, obviously, with that if we're going to compete against the best. I thought Rutgers was a very disciplined game, a very workmanlike game. We just played the right way for 40 minutes. They made tough shots. They made the shots that your defense wants to give up. They shot 55% on contested long twos. You know, you take that with your defense. But I thought we stuck with it, and we played a really good, disciplined offensive game that night.
Defensively, where do you think you guys are at right now, just overall?
Well, I mean, we are one of the top defensive teams in the country. We got, and Purdue, give them credit. I mean, they're third in the nation in offensive efficiency, and they ran a couple of actions that exposed us with the way that we play. And then we adjusted. I thought in the second half we were really good, and you held that team under 30, which is really hard to do, you know, a team that's got all that firepower. But again, early on, it was too easy for him.
Yeah, and you look around this league, and I was watching when I got home from the game last night, Wisconsin goes on the road, beats Illinois. I'm watching around other leagues. Iowa State goes down on the road at TCU. You see how competitive college basketball is. I feel like it's taken another level this year, maybe of recent years. And the NIL age hasn't hurt competition in this league. I feel like the parity is much better now in college basketball.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And then you look at North Carolina. They go down on the road at Miami as well. So it was, you know, that type of night in college basketball. You know, but again, all we got to worry about is ourselves. We do what we're supposed to do. We're going to be just fine.
When you look at Braden Smith, what kind of makes him special when you see him on the flip side? You play Keaton Wagler, too, just two of the best players in the Big Ten. What separates those guys when you're game planning for the stars of this league?
Yeah, I mean, Braden Smith, he just, it's a pick your poison with him, what you're going to try to take away. And he did a little bit of everything last night. He shot it well. He's got an unbelievable mid-range game. He's really worked on that. He separates so well. He's got a lean on his shot that allows it to get off over bigger players, and he can make the contested ones. What I thought we did a good job of is we kept the ball out of the pocket, especially as the game went on when we switched up our coverage in the second half. Kaufman Wren is deadly on that floater from the free throw line, but they were spraying that thing around way too easy in the first half. But I give our guys credit. They adjusted very well.
Great stuff with Coach here in segment one. Still have more coming up here with Coach Hoiberg on the Nebraska Basketball Show. The Nebraska Men's Basketball Coaches Show is sponsored by Union Bank and Trust, where people don't have your money. Your money has people. We continue with Coach right after this. Welcome back into the show, Nebraska Basketball Show. Kyle Crooks joined by Fred Hoiberg. Final segment, we'll have Cheryl Burbach, who's a radio star now, assistant director of Ops. Talk Alumni Weekend at Northwestern coming up. Early tip, 11 a.m. Central Time start to our coverage on the network. All right, Coach, talked a lot about the game last night and great environments at PBA. I think, you know, I hear the roar when, you know, I was thinking last night, I'm like, you know, I'm going to ask Coach this. When you walk out of the tunnel, the team's already out there and you're on the big screen. Do you kind of get chills when you're on the big board and you're walking out, kind of the last one out, and you see the sold out crowd's going nuts? Pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, not really. I think it's just cool. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you do, Kyle. Listen, you just try to go out there and get ready to go out and execute your game plan. And that's always a thing. That, you know, when the lead up time is, when I'm out of this business, is something I'm not going to miss. There's so much time, especially when you play those 8 o'clock games. There's just so much time. You think, you know, do you have everything? Do you have your guys prepared? Are they going to execute? You know, do we miss anything? So all those things, you know, that's what goes through your mind. You know, when the butterflies stop, that's when it's time to get out of this business. You still have them. I had them as a player, you know, certainly have them as a coach. And then when the ball goes up, everything goes away. But yeah, it's, you know, going up, talking to the coaches, that's one thing about our league. I think we all have great relationships with each other. And, you know, being able to talk to Painter before the game, talk to him after the game, you know, share ideas, all those things. But it's been, you know, our crowd was absolutely phenomenal. It was electric. We appreciate, you know, the support even when things weren't going well. And then when we got on the run, you know, they kept us going with that. And, you know, I know every ticket is sold for the rest of the season. We're going to need it, but we have to protect home court with these last five games.
I almost got Coach to say he liked walking out there in the video board, but I knew that was going to be the answer that I was going to get. Talking about some of the guys, Kale Jacobson just, you know, he had a couple big threes last night. He's a gamer. Every time he gets out on the floor, does something positive. What would you see from his minutes last night and really of late?
Yeah, I thought Kale was a huge key in the Rutgers game. When he came in, we didn't have a lot of deflections early in that game, and then Kale goes out and gets two steals right out of the gate when he comes into the game, and that really is what got us going. That's what got us on a run. And when we have activity on the defensive end and we can get out and transition on live ball turnovers, that's certainly when we're at our best. And I thought Kale was a huge key. It was great to see him knock those shots down. He was in the gym, you know, this morning when I got in there, and he's always working on his shot. And it was good to see that pay off. You love seeing that hard work, you know, pay off for your players when they're getting that extra time in the gym. And, you know, if he can knock down shots, he does so many other things for us on the court.
How fun has this been to watch Jamarcus Lawrence, you know, come back here to Lincoln, have the performance like he has last night, but just how massive he is to your team?
Yeah, you know, we go as he goes a lot of times with his pace when he gets us out in transition. Like I said, in overtime, I thought that was as good a stretch as he had all game with hitting the shot. I thought he played really under control and, you know, did a great job getting to the what we call the hammer spot in the corner where Sam found him on a baseline drive for a three. And then he made a great play at the end, and we just unfortunately couldn't quite knock down the shot. But yeah, Jamarcus, having him back in, the one benefit when you get a guy back into your program is he knows everything about it. He knows the standard you want to live up to. He knows the culture. He talked about how much he missed that in the year that he was away. He knows the system on both ends of the floor, and he knows exactly what we want as coaches. And when you have a point guard that can do that, that certainly makes our job easier.
How hard is it, and how, you know, as a coach, when you're scouting for a team like Purdue that has so much size and it's hard to get in the paint, to find a way to have some sort of paint presence, have a thought that, hey, we still need to dribble penetrate against these guys, you know, get in the paint, cause some fouls. Like, how, is that something you tell your guys, like, hey, I know their size, but we still got to try and find a way to have a paint presence?
Yeah, in their top 10 in the nation and taking away the rim. And I thought we did a pretty good job of getting in there. We got 20 free throws, which is the most that we've shot in a long time. Unfortunately, we didn't shoot a very high percentage, only making 13. But that's hard to do against Purdue. They do a great job of not fouling, and they do a really good job of protecting. And we shot a good percentage from the three-point line. The one thing we did not do well is we were 0 for 9 on contested rim attempts last night. Obviously, their size had a lot to do with that, but you got to drive in there to make a play. We talked a lot about it. We did that on multiple occasions, but 9, that's too many to take as far as contested shots at the rim.
And Sam, what'd you think of his minutes last night? Of course, hits the big three towards the end of regulation, made it a 5-point game as you guys were continuing to climb back, but just his overall minutes last night.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's always going to be really solid, and that's exactly what he was again last night. And, you know, we're starting to run a couple plays to get Sam downhill and get him to drive. We cleared out a side. I thought he made a really nice take against Lawyer. The other one, I thought he rushed a little bit. I thought he had a play that he could have made on that one. But as far as when you look at assist to turnover ratio, he's obviously done an unbelievable job. I think he's leading the nation in that category right now. I thought he did a really good job on Braden Smith in the second half. And again, he's done a great job of making solid plays for the most part all year long.
And it's clear that, you know, going down the stretch here, you're going to need Jared Garcia to play some sort of role, right? Especially you need to get Leo healthy. But what are you hoping to get out of Jared here? And I know you put him in pretty early yesterday into the game.
Just solid minutes. I mean, and we need Jared when he's in the game. He's got to score. So I didn't mind the two shots he took. I know he's not shooting a high percentage right now, but Jared does have a nice stroke. He obviously helped us win the game. I thought he was the key in that one at Illinois when we won that game early in the year. You know, we're looking for him to be really solid, especially on the defensive end. Can't make mistakes when he's out there. We've got him guarding the five more. It's not quite as complicated, I guess, as the other one because you're not in rotation as much. But being as solid as he can when he's out there.
Kind of jumping around a little bit. You know, I know you talked a little bit about it in your post-game press conference, but that final sequence, I think it was 4.1 left, and then Jamarcus slips. What was the thought? What was the best optimal look there?
Yeah, we got on Jamarcus's hands. If they took him away, we were going to hit Jared and flip it right back to Sam. And, you know, we work on those situations as all programs do. And when you have 4 seconds, generally that's about 4 dribbles. So you don't have to chuck one up from half court after 2 dribbles. But the idea was to get Jamarcus. I thought he did a good job curling off of Jared to get downhill with his momentum, with his shoulders towards the basket, and unfortunately just he slipped on that wet spot over there, and then, you know, Sam and Jared go over to try to help him, and they slip.
I didn't even see that till this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah. Those guys slipped too.
Yeah, but yeah, Jamarcus was going down there to try to, if he was going to create help, he was going to pitch it to one of our shooters, and if not, he was going to have to go down there and make a play.
Thoughts on this too? I mean, having been in the NBA and the women's college game, advancing under a minute. For me, that's the one thing that I want to see in the men's game.
I agree.
Advance under a minute.
I agree. It creates a lot of excitement. You get an opportunity. Like if you have a second left, it's going to take a miracle to get it done. If you can advance it, you can draw something up that at least is going to give you a good look. So I do think the advance rule, I don't know if they'll ever change it.
What's the hesitation? I don't understand what that
is. I don't know.
It adds more drama to the game.
You know,
right?
The only, I think, pro and league and in college league, obviously, that doesn't do it, with the women adopting that a couple of years ago when they went to 4 quarters. And I think it would generate a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll start it here. Maybe we can get that going.
The Huskers. I tried, Kyle.
That's right. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. Final segment with Coach coming up. Maybe we'll change some more rules when we come back. Another segment right after this. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Final segment here with Fred Hoiberg on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Cheryl Burbach will join me for the final segment, talk about the logistics of Alumni Weekend. I think 67 alumni in total, Coach, coming back here this weekend. So it's going to be a big crowd here for the Huskers in Northwestern.
It's always a fun weekend. I really enjoy it because I see a lot of the players that I played against back in the early 90s. And let me just first of all say that Cheryl Burbach does an unbelievable job. You know, not only this, her daily approach to come in and improve our program, she is absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, what she does to try to reach out to all the alumni to get them back here is not an easy job. But she's really special at creating a lot of fun and, you know, bringing those guys back to, you know, relive a lot of great memories. It's going to be really good. Coach Nee came back last year. He's going to be back again this time. He did a home visit in Ames, Iowa, when I was in high school. He showed up in his three-piece suit. Yeah, it was great. He was an unbelievable recruiter, and you know, just to see all the players that come back, and they've been great. Henry T. Buchanan texts me after every game. Mm-hmm. Bernard Day texts me after every game. Bo Reed texts me after every game. You know, Bruce Chubbuck. So you know, just to create those relationships with people that have done so much for this program, and you know, to bring them back. I know it's a special time. They'll be at our practice on Friday. We've got a banquet and a dinner on that Friday night. We'll hear from several of the players. Danny spoke last year, was up there with Kent. So, you know, it's fun. It's a fun weekend for everybody.
How much do you, especially this year, I'm sure the number of alumni that have come back, but guys that you coached here specifically, the importance of having them come back and maybe talk to the players, what's that importance to you to make sure you do that?
Yeah, it is good. And, you know, our guys weren't even born when these teams were playing. And, you know, you can argue that team that won the NIT was one of the best in the history of the program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's going to be several players from that team, they're going to be back, and obviously that's the team that we're going to honor this weekend.
Yeah, and 30th anniversary of that NIT championship team, so it should be a good environment, and make sure you get out, and I'm sure you'll see a lot of alumni at the game. All right, Northwestern coming up, it's the second time that you play them this year. Martinelli's just he's an exceptional talent, one of the top scorers in the Big Ten. What do you take away from that first game and bring here to this one?
Yeah, last thing, the 30th anniversary, I think the only guy that was around at that time was Rink. Just kidding. Martinelli's unbelievable. He's leading the nation in scoring right now. He's a problem. He's got so many different shots with his, you know, little flip shot that he can shoot from anywhere on the floor. And he's really improved his three-point shooting this year as well. He hit a couple of them on us in the first half. I thought he really overwhelmed us from a physicality standpoint in the first half of that game in Evanston. And we had a great second half. That was one of the better halves I thought we played all year. Our crowd that was there in Chicago was absolutely phenomenal. I think we had over half of the fans, and then obviously the sellout that we're going to have here this weekend. But Northwestern, they've got talent. They took Iowa all the way down to the wire in their last game. Iowa's now won six, or actually seven in a row now. Mm-hmm. But you know, they lost that game by two possessions. So they played everybody tough that they've gone up against, and you know, we're absolutely going to expect a battle.
Message to your guys, I assume it's off day today for you guys, but message for you guys next few days heading into this one.
Yeah, first of all, it's important to, you know, obviously we've shortened a rotation, so we got to go into this game fresh. We got to learn from that game and then put it behind us. I told them after the game last night, we've done a really good job of putting big emotional wins behind us. Now, here's the flip side of it. You got to put the tough emotional loss behind you now. And, you know, what will determine if you have success at the end of the year is how you handle those situations. Our guys have done a masterful job on the emotional wins. And now after that one, which, believe me, it's eaten away at all of us. Mm-hmm. Still, it always took me a day, Kyle, when I was playing, it always took me to get back on the floor and have a practice before I could truly flush it away. And once I got on the floor and got a sweat and got some shots and got back into the flow, then I could truly put the game behind me. But, you know, I saw a couple of them in the office this morning that were in there watching film or getting shots or treatment, and it is eating away at how we played. So that's, I think, a positive, but we got to find a way to put that behind us.
For you as a coach, I know you said you're up last night staring at the ceiling, but is it a 24-hour rule for you? I mean, because there's still a lot of season left.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I watched, obviously, our game last night. I watched it again this morning, and, you know, now it's on to Northwestern and watching that film and the game plan that you have to put together to get your players past it. So, yes, I mean, it is. Listen, the emotions in this business, you know, especially in the season, you do the best job you can. And, you know, listen, you got to be there for your guys at the end of the day. You got to come in there. You can't be on an emotional roller coaster, because then your players are going to follow.
How much in huddles in games do you have your players speak? What's sort of like the ratio of what you're saying in the huddle, and how much are maybe some of those in-game player led?
My favorite huddles is when I don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. Is when the players are in there and they're talking to each other, or a player says something to me on, hey, I think we can run this play. And, you know, early in the season, one of the guys came up and said, is it okay if I said, absolutely. If you see something on the floor, then bring it over, and, you know, generally we're gonna run it. And our guys have bought into that. But when there's self-accountability in those huddles and you can see the guys being able to talk to each other and handle it the right way, that's when you know you got a special group.
I think that helps, too, when you have a veteran team, is that you have a trust that some, especially veteran guards that can come in and you know that there's certain guys in there and plus rank that can lead a huddle like that, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's rank. We missed that element last year within our team. And, you know, not having that guy that could be the consistent voice, because that was Rink 2 years ago. I thought Rink and Josiah, as much as anybody, were the two guys that could really calm everybody down. And, you know, having that dynamic back in our huddle this year certainly has helped.
I think a good thing, too, is it feels like Rink's shots starting to come back. I know Rutgers, it was more block to block, had those jump hooks working, but it feels like that three's back for Rink.
Yeah, he's after the illness, he's been able to get back in the gym and get some extra work in. And the one thing I love is when your players are in the gym and you can see that hard work pay off.
And I know it was a special game for you last night, the American Heart Association game. You mentioned, made reference to that in your post game. I know your past with the heart surgeries, but that was a special night last night.
It really is. And, you know, for somebody, you know, I'm one of millions of people around the world that lives daily with heart disease. And, you know, I was born with an abnormal aortic valve, and that led to my first surgery when I was 32 years old, which I had no idea. And, you know, use me as an example. I was in the prime of my career. I just had my best season in the NBA. And after the season, I find out I needed open heart surgery. It was a complete kick to the gut. But I realized how fortunate I was to find out about that before it was too late, because it was just a matter of time for me. And then got that fixed, had a complication. You know, I every time my heart beats, it's because of a pacemaker. I developed 100% heart block in that first surgery that I had. And to be able to do what I love to do with my heart basically not beating on its own is absolutely incredible, with the advancements that have been made in cardiovascular, you know, events like I have. I mean, 40 years ago, I'd been plugged into a wall. So, you know, the games like that to draw attention and, you know, to help raise awareness. You know, the biggest thing I talk about is get checked, you know, and again, use me as a 32-year-old in the best shape of, you know, my life, you know, that I had a ticking time bomb in my chest. And then, you know, that 10 years later, I had to get the valve replaced after my last year coaching at Iowa State. So having two open heart surgeries, but to continue to be able to be active and do what I love to do, you know, I think speaks volumes. So very thankful for the American Heart Association, and I always love that game.
Yeah, it was a great message post game, and certainly a great theme last night. A few minutes left, but we'll leave you off on this. Sam had his headband game last night. Did you be able to grab a couple of the headbands he had last night?
I didn't even realize
that. You didn't
Sam
know that?
No.
So they gave out Sam Hoiberg headbands for those, I don't know, however many thousand that came into the building. So, well, you're truly just plugged into the basketball. It's amazing.
I don't like these promote. We haven't done well when we have promotions.
Yeah.
Let's just, everybody can dress how they want. Let's show up to the game. Let's have a business-like approach, and let's just go kick some ass.
Well, Coach, thanks so much. I know after this, you probably head back to film and getting ready for Northwestern. Big weekend this weekend. Alumni weekend, 30th anniversary of the 95-96 NIT championship team. We appreciate you coming in, and good luck this weekend.
All right, Kyle. Thank you.
That's head coach Fred Hoiberg. Contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. One more segment coming up on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Cheryl Burbach, Assistant Director of Operations, talking all things alumni weekend. That's coming up right after this. Final segment of the Nebraska Basketball Show. Huge thanks to Fred Hoiberg joining us. I know it was a late night for him. He's already watched the game back a couple times and getting set for, you got to turn the page, Northwestern coming in. Second time these two teams will play this year. That'll be Saturday noon tip, 11 a.m. Central. Start to our coverage with KP and Coach Jeff Smith. So that's coming up on Saturday, part of Alumni Weekend. Every year, it's one of the best times of the season. I believe almost 70 former Huskers are back in town. Cheryl Burbach was a big part of the logistics of the whole weekend and wrangling everybody up and getting them back here to Lincoln, which is no easy task. A lot of events that are prepared for them, including a banquet the night before the game. They'll watch practice. They'll do a pregame tunnel walk. They'll be honored at halftime amongst many different things. So a lot of different former Huskers coming back to town. Had a chance to have Cheryl in studio with us to talk about what it took to put all this together and what to expect on Saturday. Here's that conversation. All right, Cheryl, it's good to have you in studio. And I know a lot going into this weekend coming up with Northwestern Alumni Weekend. It's a very popular team and program right now. And I'm sure there's a sense of pride for the alumni that are coming back, but you handle a lot of the logistics of this weekend. So first things first, how many we expected coming back? And I'm sure it's going to be a hectic weekend for you.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have all the alumni back in the house and kind of celebrating their accomplishments and their impact on Nebraska basketball. We're expecting to have a record number back. We're going to have about 67 players, give or take. And plus, we're also having some staff members that usually come to. Coach Danny Nee will be in the house, so we're excited to have him back as well.
And specifically honoring the 30th anniversary of the NIT champions in the 95-96 season, I know you work closely right with the conference and just scheduling, making sure that this specific game and this specific weekend matched up with a lot of schedules out there, especially with the NBA.
Exactly. So before our season scheduling even started, our general manager, Luca Virgilio, reached out to the Big Ten and said, hey, if we can, you know, have an ask, we'd really like to have a home game during the NBA All-Star break so that we can have the best chance of getting, you know, some of those guys that are still involved in the NBA or in, you know, involved in the NBA to get back to campus, especially from the 95-96 team.
Chatting with Cheryl Burbach, who is Assistant Director of Operations with Nebraska Basketball, does so much with the program, especially around Alumni Weekend. What are some of the events around a weekend like this? It's not just game day, right? It's the day before, and there's a lot of different things that surround this. So if you're one of the alumni coming back, what are some of the expectations for what this weekend's like for them?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the biggest thing is getting everybody back in the same room. Mm-hmm. And they all have that kind of shared experience of being a D1 basketball player. And so they can all kind of reconnect to campus, too. I mean, there's not just, you know, it's also the fans, you know, everybody, you know, coming together to celebrate them. But basically we have the agenda items are we're going to have people watch practice if they want to on that Friday morning. Then we're going to have an alumni team dinner, which is going to be at the beautiful Osborne Legacy Complex. And Keith Zimmer, who is our sport administrator, is going to be heading up that program for us. And we're going to enjoy some great food, you know, catered by Flick, which is our amazing training table caterers. And just like a short program. Then we're going to go to Memorial Stadium and take a tour for those people who want to do that. And then, you know, we've got an early tip on Saturday, so we're not doing really anything on that Saturday morning schedule-wise. But at the game, then we're going to have the alumni do the tunnel walk for the current players as they come onto the court. We're going to have the alumni line up there. And then we're going to do halftime introductions of all the alumni, as well as a half-court shot by one of the alumni.
Okay.
To be determined.
So that'll be a last-second thing, deciding on who that might be?
Well,
they have to talk amongst themselves?
We're kind of keeping that under wraps.
Okay.
We have a yes.
Okay.
In the past, we've had Eric Strickland do the half-court shot. And then we had Eric Piakowski do a half-court shot, which he drained it on the second shot. So that was pretty exciting, made the crowd go wild. But yes, we have someone lined up for the half-court shot, so it'll be fun.
Importance for Coach Hoiberg just to make sure that the past is represented in the current and in the future. What are maybe some of the conversations you've had with him as you reach out to the alumni and how important that is to him to have the past still a part of the program?
Yeah, it's great to have a supportive coach, you know, that supports our alumni. You know, kind of once a Husker, always a Husker. And that's his mindset. And anytime anybody reaches out to him, you know, he's like wants to make sure that they're heard and, you know, get them connected to the program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just kind of brings me to something like if you're out there and you're a part of the program and you're not hearing from me, you know, please reach out because we want to add you to the database and get you reconnected because I know that's what Coach Hoiberg would want to.
What have you seen in the uptick in former players coming to games just throughout the year? I'm sure it's been a little bit different this season with the success that we've seen.
Yeah, it has. It's been great to see, you know, guys. We had Dupreece Owens at Ohio State. I know when we go to California, we're going to have a couple guys, you know, reach out and, you know, be in the stands there with alumni. So it's really fun to, you know, help them out with tickets and, if we can, you know, because we have a lot of, families that travel this year and we have a lot of, coaches' families that travel as well. So, it's great to see them and see their pride and, see them wearing the alumni jackets that we give them every year. It's great just to, you know, keep them connected to the program.
Is there an opportunity for fans to interact, maybe mingle with them on game day? I'm sure a lot of fans listening would love to get a chance to chat with some of the players on that 95-96 team. And, I mean, there's multiple decades that are represented here in the 67 that you said are coming back.
Yes, yeah. Not formally, mm-hmm. but, you know, informally, you know, they'll be on, you know, in the arena, you know, Section 111 and Section 112. So if you want to go, you know, reach out to them, you know, yeah. they'll be there. And, yeah, we're looking forward to an exciting weekend.
And Cheryl, I wanted to talk about, so your role is vast. There's a lot of things that mm-hmm. you're doing behind the scenes, team travel. I mean, you can go on and on about what it takes to make sure a team gets through the season and things don't fall through the cracks. What are some of the other areas of your job that help this program continue to move forward?
Yeah, well, I always just kind of describe my role as anything off the court, you know, so it can be anything from, you know, being liaison with, you know, our donors, you know, making sure all the bills are paid, making sure, you know, Coach Hoiberg's speaking requests are heard and, mm-hmm. you know, and organizing all that. So, you know, it really does vary day to day. And then as well as in the summertime, we have our Fred Hoiberg basketball camps. So I manage all the business office type of, you know, behind the scenes with that, making sure all the kids have their physicals in and, you know, they're signed up for the right thing and making sure that, you know, they see the trainer if they get a bloody nose or something like that. Yeah. So it's just, it does, it's a wide variety of work that I do, and it's a lot of fun. It's an honor and a privilege to work for Nebraska basketball, for sure.
And making sure Coach is here for his radio show as well, which,
yes.
which we appreciate.
Yes.
You schedule out that well in advance so we know. Cheryl Burbach, who is one of the unsung heroes for this program and the amount of work that she puts in, specifically around this weekend, Alumni Weekend, coming up Northwestern. It's an early tip, 12 o'clock tip, but you'll see some of the former players, a lot of different decades represented, including honoring specifically that 30th anniversary of the 1996 NIT champions. Cheryl, can't thank you enough for coming in here, all the hard work that you put in to make things happen. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Huge thanks to Cheryl for joining us here on the show. And you heard Fred talk about it on the show a segment ago, just about Cheryl's impact on this program, not just in the logistics of this weekend, but everything that she does with team travel and all of the different things that it takes to run a program and make things smooth. So we appreciate Cheryl for hopping in studio and chatting with us. The theme, and you look at the big honorees, will be the 1996 NIT Championship Team, 30th anniversary of that group. And they've situated it with the NBA All-Star break to get some other guys here as well, and worked with the conference office to make sure that they could set up this home game for this Alumni Weekend to get to everybody they could back here in Lincoln. So looking forward to that this weekend. Again, 11 a.m. Central start to our coverage. KP and Jeff Smith will have the call. Northwestern and Nebraska early tip on Saturday. It's a big one. We know that a little bit of the disappointment of the Purdue game, but life rolls on and the season rolls on. We do know that. And it's a big opportunity for this team to get back on track and get a good taste in their mouth. To think that this team was down 22 in the second half, down about 12 points with 2 minutes left. I mean, the way that they were continuing to fight back and force overtime and just one free throw away from possibly winning that game in regulation. Huge thanks to Josh Hilkeman, Camden Cohn, Fred Hoiberg, Cheryl Burbach. I'm Kyle Crooks, and this has been the Nebraska Basketball Show.